Welcome to another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And this is... He's not fucking here.
He's not here.
Frank T-Biscuit. You know, we were texting earlier today. Hey, we're going to record today. You know, people watch the news. Houston, Texas, there's like a tropical storm on its way here.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, it's not going to come till tonight. And from the looks of it, our side of the city, we're just going to get some rain. That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Doesn't look like it's going to be that bad. So you were like, oh, we're going to record when Matt gets off work. And Frank's all like, oh, that's cool, guys. And then the fucker doesn't show up.
He doesn't show up. He doesn't even answer
our phone calls. So we text bombed his ass.
Oh, yeah. We sent him like 100 text messages of, you know, a part of George Carlin's, you know, dirty words.
He's probably going to text us later like, oh, fell asleep, guys. He's such an old ass man.
Fell asleep.
You know, as we make fun of him on the show all the time for being an old ass man.
Oh, yeah.
And then not only is he old, he's like getting freaking like sensitive in his old age.
Yeah.
Did you see that shit he shared on Facebook today?
I saw that.
It's some sort of dance thing from World Dance Facebook page or something. And he says something like, what a beautiful idiot or something. To like, I mean, what a self-respecting dude like watches dance and makes a comment on it. None that I know of.
None that I know
dude,
of.
We watch sports, football, wrestling, UFC.
Well, not Frank. Remember, Frank gets frustrated with football.
Yeah, that's right. Baseball, basketball.
Because too many guys are bending over. They're tackling each other. It gets him too worked up.
Yeah.
You know, he gets a little excited. He can't watch that anymore.
But we watch manly things. We don't watch dance.
No, we don't watch dance.
And if he was here, because we know how Frank, he'd be like, I mean, y'all don't watch, you should watch dance. It's got hot chicks. No, that's not an excuse.
Yeah.
Dance is fucking gay.
Ice skating. Okay. It's, if you want to see the girl, she wears the skirt and it flips up all the time while she's figure skating. I mean, I get that. You know,
he's Irish. You know what?
Yeah,
he's, you know, that probably explains a lot. You know, he's like, sensitive dancing. You know,
it's a dance.
Gives me some arousal in my kilt or something. You know, and God damn it, well, he gets made anytime someone does. I mean, I'm always at the show since I'm the host and we record at my house. I can't get made fun of, but you guys don't show up. We can make fun of y'all.
Yeah, it's true.
You haven't missed a show in like forever.
Yeah, it's been a while since I have missed a show.
So that's okay. And speaking of, while we're here together, Remnants of the Rebellion, for people listening to our feed, we're doing soon, next week or two, we'll have another show for y'all. We just wanted to give it a breather. There's a lot going on with Comic Palooza and everything else for Rebel Radio Podcast. So new episode of Remnants will be coming soon. You know what? That's where we're going to start, though. We're going to start with Star Wars today. First off, we find all our shows at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Follow our feeds there. And latest news, anything going on, all our social media is there.
Right.
But we're going to start with Star Wars. Big news came down last night. Like, huge fucking news.
Yeah.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller fired from Han Solo.
So it's certain.
It's fired. They were fired from the set of the Han Solo film. The film started shooting in February, so they're almost 6 months into shooting this. They had 3 weeks of principal photography left. And apparently the set has been a disaster since the beginning, that they were clashing with Kathleen Kennedy and other heads at Lucasfilm, because Lucasfilm and Disney is very hands-on in making sure they're protecting their product. Mm-hmm. And I think J.J. Abrams had a little more free rein on his project, but he's still a producer of these. And, you know, everyone knows that Rogue One didn't go smooth. They had to bring in Tony Gilroy to help do some rewrites at the end of it and do help with the reshoots. And, of course, Rogue One turned out okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be very protective of Han Solo. And these two guys, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, you know, they directed the Lego movie, and they directed the 21 Jump Street films. So they're known for kind of comedy. And maybe they're – I don't know. They said that the creative differences, maybe their vision didn't line up. Maybe their Han Solo movie was turning out a little too goofy. There's nothing wrong with humor in the Star Wars universe, because we get a little bit of it. But Star Wars is not slapstick.
Yeah, it's not supposed – like if you took Han and Lando and replaced them with, you know, not Shia LaBeouf, the guy, you know, that one guy, I forget, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. I don't think it would produce, you know, a Star Wars movie that we would want to see for ages. It would be one that we'd probably, maybe it would be entertaining, but it wouldn't be suiting. It wouldn't be fitting of the image that we're looking for.
And this is crazy for something like this to happen. It actually does happen on films. It's just, this is such a huge movie that it's really in the news. You know, it's freaking Star Wars.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gone with the Wind, they had its director change.
Oh, wow.
And it turned into a classic. The Wizard of Oz also went through a directing change. And those two are classic films.
I didn't realize that.
Which we are going to be talking about some classic films today, as we're going to talk later about quintessential, essential films that people should watch. And those two movies are some that might make some people's list.
Yes.
But, so now the question is, who directs the rest? Who finishes it? Rumor today is that Ron Howard or Joe could be asked. Joe Johnson, who did Jumanji and has worked with Lucasfilm for years, is another name. They've even thrown around Lawrence Kasdan, who is a screenwriter for Star Wars. He wrote Return of the Jedi, and he's been involved with the Star Wars universe for years.
Okay.
Either way, do you have a bad feeling about this, to throw out that pun?
I mean, I do and I don't. You know, it makes me worried as to, you know, the direction and how the film was going, but I feel better about it knowing that they're, you know, they take action. Like you said, they're very hands-on and they're very controlling, you know, for good reason. They have a brand to protect, you know, that Star Wars brand has to produce every time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's room for error.
Well, what I'm curious about is, like, I don't know that much about how film works exactly, but how much difference can a new director make with 3 weeks of shooting left? You know, why not finish out the 3 weeks? Bring in a new editor, someone to do reshoots if you had to. I guess maybe there's a mass amount of shooting. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they do a mass amount of shooting in 3 weeks. I don't know exactly how film works, but I would imagine one day of filming, you're only getting so much done by the time you set up props and costumes and sets. I don't know. I'm not a film director.
Like you said, it's, you know, we're a little unfamiliar with that part. I wonder how much of an impact it'll make.
But either way, I have faith and Kathleen Kennedy and everything she's done. She took over Lucasfilm and Disney. You know, they've done a good job. I mean, I know Force Awakens has its detractors, but also as people loves it. Rogue One was same way. Both Star Wars movies, you know, it's funny that when they come out, they were universally praised, Force Awakens and Rogue One. Now, as the movies have been out, you get, some people are like, I think it's become popular to hate stuff that's popular.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, both films have been really good, you know, so far.
They have.
And we'll see what they do. Who would you pick to come in direct out of those names?
Whenever you said Ron Howard, I really liked it. I really like that idea of Ron Howard coming in. I mean, I'd like to see J.J. Abrams just do all of them. Just have him do everything.
Yeah, and, well, you know, rumors that swirled back when, before Force Awakens got made, that they were going to have one director for all three films of the new trilogy, but then they decided, I think J.J. Abrams didn't want to do all three, because that was originally the thought, was he was going to direct all three films.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, well, who knows? Yeah, I think if I had to pick right now, the rumors are that I would go with Ron Howard. I think he would do, you know, he's from that Lucas school of him and Spielberg and all that. And I would like to see him finish the film. So we'll see what happens. On Han Solo, A Star Wars Story, or whatever they're going to call the film.
Yeah, you know?
A Star Wars. But they say it's still on track for its May 18th, or whatever it is, May 2018 release. So we'll see.
Okay, that's still good.
And so big news. That was huge. I mean, I read that yesterday. I was like, wow, that's uncanny. That doesn't really happen.
Yeah, right. I didn't even... Yeah, whenever you said there were rumors, I'm like, I wonder if they're just rumors.
Yeah, so they're Philip Lord and Chris Miller gone. You know, and now, hey, maybe they're going to film the Flash movie now. You know, they were going to film the Flash for DC, and they had to back off because they wanted to sign him for Star Wars. And obviously, we know DC still doesn't have Flash directors, so maybe they'll come back and do the Flash. Because I think their style with comedy, I think, could work for a Flash film.
That would very well work for Barry Allen.
So why not? Let's see what they do.
Then everything would be awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't have old man Frank here because he's sleeping, but, you know, this is something he would want to talk about. But since last we recorded, we lost Adam West, you know.
Yes.
Sad, but he's old, so yeah, not that makes it easier, but
he made it to 88.
Yeah, you know,
kudos to you.
But man, you know, you're a little younger, but man, for me, Adam West was my first Batman.
He was my first Batman,
you know,
too.
He for years, people kind of laughed at the show, made fun of it, but as Adam West got older, he embraced it in pop culture. And I think he turned people's minds around to realize, man, this isn't as bad. It is what it is. It's not as bad as it was. I even, when I was younger, thought, man, it's kind of silly. When I went through those teenage years, even though I grew up watching it, and now I appreciate it for what it is. You take it for what they had at the time and how hard they tried. It's one of those shows that's actually well acted. Adam West and Burt Ward tried very hard to make it seem serious, but they had to realize that it was silly.
Yeah.
The costumes are great. There's so much to love about the Batman series. But we lost Adam West, and you know, and if he was, and he's that type, if he wouldn't want us to mourn him, he'd say, just keep on going, having fun, enjoy Batman. He did complete his work on Batman vs. Two-Face, the next animated film, so that's really cool. Any thoughts you have on Adam West?
I really like this video that they shared on, you know, how Like, I don't know what TV show it's from. I sent it to you through Messenger, but I know I sent you a lot of crap through Messenger, so it, like, it gets lost in translation.
Yeah, you sent me a lot of ass stuff in there, too.
Yeah, I do. So, he's in the car with these three guys. I forget which TV show it is. Maybe one of our listeners
knows. Oh, is that the Big Bang Theory?
That's a Big Bang Theory. And they're like, you know, oh, you know, one guy's like, oh, Bale's the best Batman. And, you know, another guy's like, well, you know, I think Keaton's the best Batman because he brought humor to the role. And he's like, well, if Keaton's number one Batman, I should be number one. And he's like, you know, for if you're going to encounter in humor. And he's like, you think you're better than Bale, the man who personified the words, I am Batman. And he's like, no, I didn't have to say I was Batman. People knew I was Batman.
Right.
He's like, and all those other guys, they had muscles built into their suits. My suit was all A West. And so I'm like, hey, he's got a point. And then he's like, it should be me, Keaton, Kilmer, Lego, Bale, and that pretty boy Clooney. And then they, of course, you know, the Batman versus Superman hadn't come out. So they're just like, at the end, they're like, you know, can we all agree we're worried about Ben Affleck? And he's like, yes. And so... I don't know where Ben Affleck would run on that list, according to Adam. But I think that's a pretty good list involving those Batman. I was like, I'll give it to him.
Yeah, it's a, you know, he was one of a kind. That's for sure. You know, did a lot of animation voice work over the last few years, and he'll be missed, but he'll live on through the classic Batman TV series. And
absolutely,
I need to get that on Blu-ray one day. I own the movie, of course. The movie's easy to find.
Oh yeah. Sharp one
repellent. Day, yeah. I love it in the Lego Batman movie how they reference that. It's awesome. The shark repellent thing. And so, yeah, Adam West no longer with us. Man, it's been, you know, everybody talked about 2016 and all the celebrities and everything. You know, of course, ending with Carrie Fisher. But so far, 2017 hasn't been much better.
No.
I mean, we've Bill Paxton, Adam West. I know there's someone I'm not thinking of
Eddie
right
Murphy's
now.
Murphy's brother.
You know, it hasn't been that much better. The director of The Karate Kid, John Avildsen, he just passed on. So, you know, it's not much better this year, 2017.
Nope.
Taking these celebrities from us. You know? And Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell.
That was the one I was just thinking about. Yeah. So, you know, anyway. So, let's move on. Other news we have. John Wick, man. You know, you big fans, of course. You know, we love it. And, man, they announced that they are developing a prequel television series called The Continental. And it's no one, there's no studio attached or anything like that. Or I mean, they're just the creators are developing it. And the idea is that it takes place before the film in the world of John Wick. Like, John Wick won't actually be in it, even though they said Keanu Reeves, they've talked to him and he's open to appearing in it.
Yeah.
And it almost sounds like they might go anthology style, like different stories about different assassins in these hotels across the world, and would open up the world more. And, I think that would be awesome. And I think it would be cool to see, let's say it's a young female assassin and she's in the room and John Wick just happens to walk in and people are over there like, that's the Baba Yaga, you know, or whatever.
Baba Yaga. Yeah,
Baba Yaga. I know Baba I said it wrong. Yaga. You know, and that would be cool, man. You know, I'm all for this. I love John Wick. I can't wait to see part three in a couple of years. You know, they're writing it now. And I guess the guy who directed it, the first one, is currently directing Deadpool 2, which just started filming. And the guy who directed the second one, you know, they co-directed the first one.
Yeah.
And he directed the second one. He, I guess, is doing the Highlander reboot.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I guess after the Highlander reboot, he's going to start work on John Wick 3. And maybe they'll come back together and do John Wick 3 together again. Because as much as I like 2, it opens up the world more. I felt the action was a little better in part 1.
I would say
In parts of it. You know, even though the pencil kill is cool in part 2.
Yes.
You know, and... So I'd like to see them mixed together, and as much as I dog Deadpool, because we can switch rounds here. Anything else to say about John Wick TV show? I mean,
I'm all for it, man. I'm on board.
And there's a John Wick comic book series coming out in September from Dynamite. That'll be cool too, and it's a prequel. It actually tells us the early days of John Wick. And to switch gears to Deadpool 2, one thing that makes me excited about the director John Wick doing Deadpool 2 is that I hope it's better.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as high on Deadpool as everyone else. I enjoy the movie, but man, so many people want to put it in their top 5 comic movies, and it's not even close, people. I can't even put it in top 10. I can name 10 comic movies easily better.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie for a fun character, but it's not a great movie.
It is a second-tier movie.
I mean...
I'll put it as second-tier.
I would put...
You have great movies, and you have good movies. I'd put Deadpool as good. It does drop off. You know, even like... I mean, I loved it. I think I loved it more than you, and I even agree it does drop off.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch it a second time, the laughs don't hold their luster as well. You still find it entertaining, but, you know, hopefully we get, you know,
and
some
also think part of the first one, my problem with it, too, is the character's already all over the place in the comic books and video games. Then Ryan Reynolds has to do the same thing on social media, and it's almost too much of him. It's like, back off some, dude. You know, he's all over the place. I know he's promoting the film, and I understand all that, but it was almost overkill. By the time Deadpool came out, I was just like, yeah, whatever. That's why I didn't even rush out to see it opening weekend. I think I saw the second weekend it was out. And but the second one gives me hope. The director, John Wick, doing Deadpool, that I think that's really cool. And if he's allowed to do some of the gun-kata-style action, gun-fu-style action in a Deadpool film, that could really work for me, I think. That would be really awesome.
That would be awesome. It'd be better than just Deadpool owning people. You know, with his, you know, with his gun, his sharpshooterness. But yeah, be cool to see some different gun action.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes from there. Now, I know you don't play as many games, and you probably didn't follow E3, and Frank does, and that's why I wish the little fat bastard was here.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's busy looking for his Lucky Charms or something.
I followed a little bit of E3.
And, you know, man, I was watching some of the streaming and really hoping they'd show off The Last of Us 2, but they didn't. About the only thing I really saw that looked cool was the Spider-Man game.
The Spider-Man gameplay. They gave you a little look at Darth Maul from Battlefront 2.
Oh, Battlefront 2, yeah.
Yeah. And but, then that's really it.
That's it, man. It's like how it felt about it. I was like, man, it's kind of a weak E3 this year. You know, they have the Uncharted Lost Legacy game that they showed off for Uncharted fans. But other than that, they didn't show off a whole lot, really. It was kind of a weak E3 overall. So
yeah.
Without Frank's video game insight here, that's all we've got.
That's all we've got.
That, man, I can't believe, dude, he fell asleep. He still hasn't answered our text messages.
No, and I sent him like 100 of them, like with very obscene words.
Like what kind of words? Like poop?
Lick dick and suck ass.
That's pretty appropriate for him.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he's doing today.
Probably.
You know, he's probably got his head so far up as like boss's ass or something. Who knows?
Probably.
Or maybe his wife's. You know?
You can't tell where he ends and he begins.
You know, the whole dance thing, man. You know, I was hoping he was here because I wanted to make fun of him for it in his face.
And I wanted to see how he defended it.
Is he reading it online? And like, he's probably crying. Like, all sad. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Beautiful.
And his wife probably walks in and is like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, are you crying at a video on Facebook? You know, and he's probably like, oh, no, those were tears of joy or some shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, I mean, then again, you watch Pretty Little Liars, so, you know.
Yeah, but I really liked Spencer.
You know, and then, you know, I saw that text I sent you today. They're having an Downtown Abbey movie. And
yes.
Frank's all excited, I'm sure, about that.
He's been sharing these for a while, man. This world of
There's
dance.
More of them on his Facebook?
Dude, you know how many he shared in one day? On the 14th, he shared 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it 4? Yeah.
Wow. You know, I bet he sits in his living room and watches them and tries to dance like them.
Dude, oh my
and
God.
And that's a scary thought, visually, of the idea of Frank dancing. You know, I mean...
I don't want to
Frank's
know.
A big hoss, people. You know, in his kilt and all. Oh, anyway, we move on.
Yes.
So, you know, we've been talking about... we've been texting back and forth ideas for the show, and me and a guy, friend of the show, Ronnie, who we always talk about nerd stuff and everything, And talking about like movies that people should watch, you know, like they have to watch. And man, we can't even do. I just realized we can't even do Face Off today because he's not here.
Yeah, we can't.
You know, we will have to download this in a little bit but if you were to show someone the movies for the first time, let's say someone went to the theater and they watched what's out right now, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know,
yeah,
and they liked it. That was their first movie they ever saw.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best choice for first ever movie I ever saw.
Better
but
than mine.
If it gets them into movies and they like, wow, I really enjoy movies. Like in today's world, in 2017, we were starting talking like, what are movies that people must watch? And me and Ronnie were throwing around ideas and things like that. And it's really hard because it can be based on taste, it can be based on preference, it can be based on modern classics, old classics, or different things. And I was like, man, that's a good idea for the show. I told Ronnie, I'm stealing. Ronnie's like, go for it. Take that idea for the show. And so I know Ronnie will listen to this, and he'll be like, oh, yeah, I got mentioned on the show again, you know. And our friend of the show, Brian, who's actually done a couple episodes with us,
yeah,
they had a little friendly competition about how long they've gotten, how many times they both got mentioned on the show. And now Brian just got mentioned, too. So, and so, you know, I took the approach of this list of films that were quintessential, of some that I think people should watch, some that, and I kind of spread it out over decades. And it's funny, I only have one film on my list after the year 2000.
Wow.
Everything is older. And I have a few honorable mentions. I don't know if you did any honorable mentions.
I have one honorable mention.
What's your one honorable mention?
Seven Samurai.
Good choice. You know, yeah. And my honorable mentions, and it's hard to believe these and make lists. I have Heat.
Ooh.
Michael Mann's Heat.
Yeah.
I have The Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty Harry.
Ooh.
Titanic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Terminator 2. Those are my list.
Terminator 2 did not make the top 10.
But they're very close to the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And you look at my list, I went with a variety. I have a crime saga, a Western.
Yeah.
A police force movie, a romantic disaster movie, and a science fiction film from honorable mentions.
Wow.
And that's kind of how I took this approach. If I wanted to get someone into film that had never watched movies before, I would show them a wide variety of things of what I would want them to see to understand how many ranges that film can take. You know, Frank was here, he'd probably pick Breaking.
Yeah.
And Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I kind of spitballed it. These are, okay, my list is probably going to be subpar to yours, but it won't be a Frank list. You know, it's okay. Yeah, it's, there's only so far it'll fall.
Do you think he even made
tree.
A list? He's like, I'm just probably not going to record it. I'm going to fall asleep.
Yeah. Hey, that could be. He could have been like, oh, I didn't do my homework. Hey, we have to do homework this show. I can't go.
All right. Well, if you were to show, let's say, your young son, Jake, you know, I know, or Luke hasn't watched movies yet. He's little. And Luke, let's say Luke doesn't watch a movie, so he's 15. Okay, we'll use him for an example. And you want to start him off with movies. At 15, 16 is old enough to start watching stuff that's adult. You know, what's the first movie you have on your list?
He'd have to start off with a classic, and I'd have to go with Enter the Dragon.
Good one.
Yeah. At 15, I think he could watch it. I think he could.
Oh, yeah.
Cerebrally watch it. You know, there's so many fast things.
I mean, don't think about the age.
You.
I just threw that out there because sometimes different people mature differently.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that's a good choice. I actually have no martial arts on my list. And I almost did. I almost had Enter the Dragon on here.
Okay.
It was tough to leave any off. I'm going to go with the obvious one, the first one I have on my list. And these are in no particular order. I just put these down. I have Star Wars. I mean, obviously, everyone has to watch Star Wars.
Yeah.
Quintessential science fiction film.
Absolutely.
You might have to explain to a young person or even someone in their 20s that's never seen it why it was so pop culturally huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people look at it like, oh, what is this? But Star Wars.
It's Star Wars.
What's the second movie on your list?
Just one that I have right here. I have Fight Club. It's
interesting choice. I
just because it's the ultimate man movie.
But my thing with Fight Club is, and I thought about it, is it's so generational. It's very much a 90s film.
It is.
It hasn't... Our grandmothers haven't watched it.
It's not timeless.
You know, and that's my thing. I thought about this, if it's timeless. Like, have our uncles seen it and our grandparents? People are 20 years older than us.
You went deep thought.
They haven't watched Fight Club. But it's not a bad choice.
No.
You know, I'm going to stick with the genre we've kind of... And I have Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's funny, as much as I love James Bond, I put no James Bond film on this list. Because I think if I'm going to show someone a essential action film and how it's made, you show them Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. I actually watched it on Father's Day, because that's what I do every year on Father's Day. I like to relax, watch movies. I watch Raiders, so it was one of my movie choices this year on Father's Day.
Nice.
And it still holds up extremely well. I love Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's probably a top three movie of all time for me.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have next?
I've got Silence of the Lambs. I think it's a really good movie. Hopkins, you know, he takes the place of a guard.
It's not a Best Picture winner.
It's not.
In fact, the movie that should have won that year, I have on my list. Yeah. Go ahead, though. I mean, I didn't pick any horror, so horror is a good choice.
No, there's a lot of twists.
Because what if someone said that never seen movies before? Like, what about scary movies? I wouldn't show them Friday the 13th. But no. Maybe show them Silence of the Lambs.
You know, it's not a slasher. It's not mindless killing.
It's mentally scary.
There is a mental part of it that, you know, I mean, you're generally thrilled. It's a horror thriller on a you know, smart level.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a mindless, you know, My Bloody Valentine or something like that, you know, which is fine, you know, but it's not generational. This movie is generational.
Yeah, I can see that. Go with your next one. What do you have next?
I have The Matrix because I believed it redefined action for a short time.
I picked a different movie from the mid to late 90s that I think redefined the next decade. And I'll tell you what that one is. I picked Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Because I was looking at mid to late 90s films that changed the direction of things. And I considered The Matrix, but I chose Pulp Fiction instead because Pulp Fiction has probably defined movies of the next decade even more than even The Matrix has, especially crime films and quirky movies like that. But The Matrix has definitely had an influence.
Yes.
But the problem with The Matrix is I don't think it had a good influence. I think it caused too many copycats, where Pulp Fiction seemed to have a good influence. It had directors like Christopher McQuarrie and even Bryan Singer making The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Movies like, I think it had a better influence on people like them. But that's just my choice. But not that your pick is bad, obviously.
No, it's just different.
You know? Since you did two in a row, I'm going to go. The only war movie I have on my list, even though there's hundreds of war movies, I could have chose Tora Tora. I could have chose The Longest Day, but I went with Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
I mean, I think the movie. We tease Frank about crying watching dance videos. Saving Private Ryan will still make me cry every time I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a tremendous film. I think everyone should watch it that isn't, especially when it's American. Maybe it doesn't transcend worldwide because it does focus on the American side of the war, but I think everyone should watch it, you know. And that's such an important film. And it should have won Best Picture. And I want to kick whoever made Shakespeare in Love right in their teeth because it wasn't better than Saving Private Ryan.
No, it wasn't. People don't hardly remember Shakespeare in Love.
No. You're like, what's that?
Yeah.
Your next essential movie that someone should watch.
Die Hard. I think it's arguably...
You're seeing our generation gap here with you being 30 years old and me being 40.
I mean, it's one of the best Christmas movies of all time. So I went with a Christmas movie. And I was like, we got a Christmas movie on here.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair.
My next one I have, I'm just going random here, is John Wayne's The Searchers. I mean, I struggled. Do I do good and bad and the other do The Searchers? You could flip-flop those both. Amazing westerns.
Mm-hmm.
To show someone what the old west was like, The Searchers is the perfect film. It's a gorgeous movie. Back when movies were done with practical effects and real sets, you know, filmed out in the deserts of Arizona, wherever it was filmed, and just an amazing film. And I'm not a huge John Wayne fan. I think he's overrated. But man, The Searchers is an amazing movie. It's probably my favorite thing he's ever done. What do you have next?
Magnificent Seven.
The original, right?
The original, Magnificent Seven. Not Chris Pratt, or credit to him.
And maybe not the most action-packed Western, the original, but it's such a movie about men and what they deal with in those times.
Standing
up. And coming together and standing up for something that they all believed in. And a great film. I actually own it and watched it not that long ago. Oh. I haven't seen the remake yet, but because I like the original so much, the remake just is like, I don't know if I can watch it, you know? I have Jaws on my list next.
Oh, yes.
I mean, come on. I'm not going to dog you if you don't have it on your list, but Jaws and Star Wars are two movies that should be on anyone's must-watch list.
Yeah.
If Frank was here, Jaws sucks. Frank, fuck you. Jaws does not suck.
Speaking about having your kids watch a movie, I had Jake watch Jaws. Me, Jake, and the wife watched Jaws together. And because I was like, you have to watch Jaws.
Michael just watched Jaws for the first time a couple months ago.
That's awesome.
And it still holds up amazingly well.
It does.
I don't get what our Irish leprechaun co-host thinks about
Shark in Jaws.
He's I'm not going to call Frank names, but he's just not right. Jaws is a classic. What you have next on your list? I know we're getting almost to the end of them.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
I knew you would have that one.
Oh, yeah.
For obvious reasons. And it's one of those movies that you don't really have to watch Terminator to watch Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can watch on its own and get the gist of what's going on. You know, and I think it's more important film than The Matrix as far as the way it changed, the look of the way science fiction is.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. Is that what's why you picked it?
Yeah.
You know.
It was just, you had an action star that cared and showed emotion. And there was a lot more to that story than just action. You know, it's like at the end, you know, he had this human side to him that he had, he had developed. You know, he tells John Connor, I know now why you cry. And, he lowers himself down.
And you teared up a little bit.
It was just a little bit.
It was funny. I put it on our Facebook that we're going to try to be serious and talk about essential films, but we can never be totally serious.
Nah.
My next film is the one that should have won Best Picture over Silence of the Lambs, and that's, I had to put a Scorsese film on here. I could have gone Raging Bull, could have gone with The Departed, but I went with Goodfellas.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, you want to show, if you're looking at a list of variety of films to show someone and you show this is how you make a gangster mobster movie, I'm not going to bore them to death with The Godfather. Let's watch Goodfellas. Shit's awesome.
Darn.
You know, I still love Goodfellas a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And you have The Godfather on your list?
I put Godfather Trilogy.
See, I've never watched The Godfather.
Ever. Really?
I've tried. I can't get through it. I think it's boring. I know people, it's a classic, you got to watch it. And as a film fan, I just can't get through it. Like, I've only watched Casablanca once. I just think it's boring. You know, there's certain movies that
I watched. Casablanca.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was Riley Steele in that?
Riley Steele.
And John, was it John Everwood or whatever their name is?
Yeah, whatever their name is. Or Johnny Gunn or what.
So you went the Godfather Trilogy.
I mean,
have you watched them all? Have you actually been able? I just can't do it.
I remember not being able to finish 3.
Yeah, I heard 3 is not very good.
Yeah, it's not very good. 1 and 2 are good. The Godfather.
I did choose. I chose a trilogy also, and it's the only movies that I have on here post 2000. That's the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Okay.
It's like I think I'd have. You know, again, I went with a variety of films here, in the fantasy realm. You know. I think I'd have to show them. I just can't think of any other fantasy movie that tops it. I was thinking, like, there's no King Arthur film that deals with fantasy. Even The Princess Bride, even though it's a fun movie. I just can't think of anything that tops Lord of the Rings in the realm of fantasy that you'd have to show someone.
Yeah.
And at first on my list, I had Return of the King. I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because they didn't watch the first two. So I had to go with the whole trilogy.
Yeah, you'd have to watch the whole thing.
No, why it's playing in the background with the epic battle with Batman. That's the noise y'all might hear in the background of the show. I have 2 left on my list. How many you have? 1 or 2 left?
2 left.
What's next?
I already mentioned Enter the Dragon, right?
Yeah.
Star Wars was the one that I also had on your list.
Oh, okay.
So that canceled mine out, so I really only have 1.
Okay, well, I have 2 left, so I'll do 1 more. Okay. Shawshank Redemption.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
You know, this is a movie that maybe not everyone would put on their list, but I think it's a great film. I think it's my drama I chose. I chose sci-fi, I chose westerns, I chose mobsters, fantasy. This is my drama I chose. I mean, what can't be said about Shawshank that hasn't been said in other places? I mean, everyone has seen it. Everyone loves it. Mm-hmm. Should have won won Best Picture also. Amazing movie. It's so amazing that even my mother, who had never seen it till in the last year, saw it and was like, wow, it's such a great movie. Can't believe I haven't ever watched it. I'm like, yeah, Shawshank's a fantastic movie. So, Shawshank Redemption, what's your last pick?
Forrest Gump.
Really?
Yeah, I put Forrest Gump. I figured you have to. It's fun. And it's a story. It's a story about a man's life. And it's just interesting. I feel like you don't make those kind of movies
anymore. I'm a little disappointed in you because I'm picking genres here. What's the one genre I haven't picked a movie from yet?
Comic book.
Burton's Batman.
I wanted to go with Winter Soldier.
I mean,
because
no, you couldn't have done Winter Soldier it's not old enough. It's not essential for someone who in 2017 and was like, man, watched their first movie and is looking like, man, what's with all these comic movies coming out? Where you want to start on Winter Soldier? You'd have to go back. You have to say, this is what started. You'd either have to do 78 Superman or 89 Batman.
Yeah, I'd start with.
But I think they'd enjoy 89 Batman more. Because 78 Superman, you kind of have to warm up to. Slow.
I'd start them off with Superman 2. It stands on its own.
Possibly,
to me.
You know. But 89 Batman, I had to. It's influenced so much. I had to go with it. And 89 Batman is my last list. Or my last one on my list of essential movies I think people should watch. But there's so many great films out there. And again, it's subjective. It depends on what you would show someone. A different films. Not that either one of our lists were bad. I think you made some good picks, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better if Frank was here. He would have had a list that would have had Breaking 2, E.T.
Boogaloo, Summer.
No, he would have picked E.T. He would have picked Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which I think is one of Spielberg's... It bores me. And not like alien movies, but Close Encounters of the Third Kind is kind of a boring film.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. And, you know, and this is so interesting because you could do a show, a list like this of, like, essential TV shows, mm-hmm. you know, that people should watch. And it was a fun idea that Ronnie brought to the table. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea for a show.
Yeah.
You know, and there's more movies on the list because if you show them Raiders of the Lost Ark, you got to show them Temple of Doom and Last Crusade.
Oh, yeah.
If you show them Star Wars, you got to show them Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Kalima!
And,
hopefully Jake gets to learn that what that means, Kali. You know, when he tries to take his heart out, Kali Ma.
You know, last week we were talking about the Top Gun sequel. Top Gun could be a movie that you put on.
It really could.
You know, I didn't even think about John Woo's action films. You know, I'm a big John Woo fan. Yeah. I mean, but those are movies I guess you would expand out. You show them those essentials first, then you show them other ideas in the genre. Like, you know, this is the action movie you should see. You show them Hardboiled. This is another war movie you should see, and you show them
Rapid Fire.
I don't know. Rapid Fire is an essential.
Yeah, it was essential for Brandon Lee.
I can think of better. I'd show him The Crow before I'd show him Rapid Fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you went more martial arts, you'd show him the Way of the Dragon or something you know, like that. We'd even get into animation. You know, I would show someone The Jungle Book, Pinocchio, the Disney classics, you know, modern classics, maybe Toy Story, you know, things like that we'd even touch. You know, so it's a subjective list of things that could be essential viewing of films. I mean, God, there's so many, you know. We put no James Bond on our list, but, you know, you would probably, I don't know if I'd show him maybe From Russia With Love. You know, you almost pick a Bond from every era. Maybe From Russia With Love, maybe The Spy Loved Me, GoldenEye. We'll skip Timothy Dalton. And then maybe Casino Royale. You can almost pick four or five films from each Bond, you know. So interesting list of what movies you would show someone if they were watching film for the first time. You know, so any movies you would add to it that I skipped?
I mean, maybe Bourne, maybe the first Bourne.
Maybe.
It was a little different. You know, it was just like a James Bond, pretty much, if James Bond lost
maybe to
his
show
memory.
Modern political action movies, yeah, I'd do something like Bourne, you know, if they were into modern stuff. But interesting list. It shows our age differences, too, the list we both
have.
Yeah,
it does.
You know,
it does.
I can't believe you left off 89 Batman.
I know.
I thought for sure. I'm not surprised you had Terminator 2 on there, but can't believe you didn't have Burton's Batman. That one shocked me to have that on there.
The comic book movie that I really wanted to put on there, like you said, it was a little old, it was a little recent.
Yeah, there's nothing recent like I would like. I mean, sure, if someone's into Marvel, yeah, you might start with Iron Man, showing the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but nothing that's essential. You know, that's my thing. You know, nothing Marvel has done has stood out that stands the test with the other 20 movies you and I both picked.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the thing. So, I'm really curious what Frank's list would have turned out as. And we'll have to, next episode, we'll have to ask him. So, like,
his superhero movie would be like Howard the Duck.
Yeah, or he would probably have, like, I don't know, some shit like Chariots of Fire on his list.
Chariots
or something,
of Fire.
You know? I'm going to knock him a little bit. Singing in the Rain. I know it's like his mom and dad liked the movie, and he wants to tell his little sob story and all that about, oh, my parents liked the movie, but Singing in the Rain, I don't know. You know, whatever.
He might as well bring up Silent Movie era and talk about Fatty Corpuscle.
All right. So that was essential movies that we felt people should watch. And if you have any that we left off or you thought, leave comments for us on our Facebook or our Twitter account, whatever, and let us know what you think. So we can't do Face Off because Frank's not here. Face Off takes three people to play, and I won last time, so we changed the rules with Winter Kids to keep going. It was going to be you versus me, but we'll do Face Off next time.
Yeah.
So we'll do Download This instead.
Yeah.
What have you downloaded, watched, streamed lately?
Actually, I downloaded a text bomb app so that I could text bomb the shit out of Frank.
Which we did before the show.
Yeah, I can send 50 text messages at once. It's awesome. I love it. There's a ton of them, so you don't really have to be specific with any of these. Any specific text bombing app, but they're fun. Yeah, I'll probably only have it on my phone for another few days and I'll delete it. But, you know, it was fun while it lasted. You know, how about you?
What have you downloaded, lady? Michael's joined us at the podcast recording table here.
I've downloaded Injustice 2.
Would you know Frank picked that in the last show? But that's okay.
It's fun. It's like, I have tons of characters already of Swamp Thing, Deadshot, Batman, The Flash, Harley Quinn, which I don't have Superman.
So people should download Injustice 2?
Yeah, it's fun.
Is Nightwing in it?
No, but Robin is.
Robin's
Damian
in it?
Damian Wayne.
Oh.
And I'm fighting him in the story, and he has a sword, and his power-up, he uses it. He, like, is super strong. I've been trying to beat him. Right now, when I was playing, I was close to beating him. Then he used his power up on me. But it's fun.
Okay.
That's good to hear.
I actually haven't really downloaded anything to my phone or anything lately. I'm going to go something no one has picked before. I've been playing Uncharted 4. on the PlayStation 4 a lot.
Okay.
So I guess that's what I've downloaded. Because download this, we call it that segment. It's loose terms. It's what we've been streaming, playing lately. And I've been really getting into Uncharted 4. I really enjoy the Uncharted series, even though I haven't finished 3. I finished part 1 and 2, and I bought a PS4 and got 4. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to skip finishing 3. Eventually, I'll go back and finish 3. But I've been playing Uncharted 4, and I really love that game. And Naughty Dog makes some amazing games. That's the name of the company, Naughty Dog. They did The Last of Us also. I implore anybody that, now Frank was here, Matt, you got to get a new system. I mean, I'm not going to bug you about that.
Yeah, I know, right?
But anyone that did buy a PlayStation 4, I would tell them that they, talk about essential movies, you'd have to get the Uncharted games and The Last of Us. They are some of the best games I play. That company just makes amazing games. And that's what I would tell people to buy if they're buying PlayStation 4. So that's what we've downloaded lately. Matt's text bomb app.
Yes.
Just keep bombing the shit out of me. Even after the show's over, more text bomb for Frank for falling asleep, not showing up for the show.
Yes.
I mean, we were going to record last night, but then he got called into work. Who answers their phone for you when you work calls?
Dude, you don't.
No one. You don't answer your fucking phone.
My work just called. I didn't answer.
That's a rule of thumb. You don't answer the phone call after a certain time. But he answered the phone call. He went to work last night. Then he's like, oh, yeah, what time are we going to record today? And Matt texts him like, well, I'll probably get off about 5, 5:30, which you basically did. Mm-hmm. He's like, and then he just doesn't show.
Yep.
That motherfucker. Anyway, next show, he gets dogged big time. So that's all we got, though, man. We'll see. We should have an update soon on who's going to finish up this Han Solo film. And go to TrustMeMajaya.com. I just put up the list today of what's coming to Netflix next month. Rogue One is going to be available on Netflix.
Nice.
First time ever a Star Wars movie has been available streaming. The Castlevania animated series is hitting July 7th. That'll be cool.
That'll be fun.
And keep following us. We've been covering on TrustMeMajaya.com all summer long. It's been 25 years this September since Batman the Animated Series hit airwaves. So we've been doing a series of articles about the 25th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series. I have a new one I'm currently writing, which should either be up later this week or early next week. It'll be done. So you can find all that at TrustMeMajaya.com. It's an extension of the podcast as we bring you some cool articles on there. And so check it out and make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff. And that's all we got today.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have an update here in the next month on when you can get your Rebel Radio t-shirt. That's what I'm hoping. And we hope people will buy one. That's what we
absolutely
hope.
Tell your friends about it, and as soon as we get it rolling, you should see some images of what they might look at.
Until next time, there is no Frank, so this has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
And this is Mark. Until next time,
go there and do it, bitches.
Well, that and same bat time, same bat channel.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeImAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?